It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. We are back and we are taking your questions here. Lynn Buchanan is with us. Now, Lynn, we ended on a question. I've got them here so you can answer them and make sure that we did get the answer out. And that was from Joseph out of Monterey. Can ET control our minds where they can compromise us is one. He had a few experiences where that had happened.
I think the answer is yes on that. Go ahead.
I agree. I absolutely agree. We both agree that they can control our minds and compromise us. Okay. The other one, also, when people see a UFO and do not photograph it, videotape it, do you think it's because they forget? Did they, or did mind control stop them? Did the ET at that point stop them?
On that, I think both those scenarios are possible. And even probable, but I think a lot of times the excitement, they get so wrapped up in the excitement that they just forget to do things.
Yeah, my answer to that is if they're around you and they know you're there, they're freezing you. They've turned you off. You're not going to be able to do it.
If that's been recorded, then they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Done it to me. And I know, I also believe that if you see them and you can get a shot, it's just because their focus is somewhere else and they're just not recognizing what you're up to. What do you think of that? Same thing?
Probably so, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I like
one of those where, you know, from experience and from hearing other people's experiences, yeah, I've made that conclusion. It's one of those esoteric things where I don't have documented proof, you know.
And you know what? I've experienced things. I know it myself. I don't have to prove to other people. I can tell the story. I'm not out here to convince. But I can say, oh, this is what happened here. Yeah. So back to open lines here. New Jersey wildcard line number 5. Mary, welcome to Coast and open lines.
How is everyone? I have a question. I just heard what you're talking about. Two questions. Bilocation and astral projection. Astral projection, where's your body? I mean, are you with your body? And the other one is, that means you could be in two places at one time. Can that be both of these, present or in the past, future? Yeah. Can you go any of those places?
Astral body, generally your body is asleep or unconscious in bed or wherever you are sitting or whatever. And your mind goes somewhere else. And from what they said, what I've heard, there are times when with astral projection, people who are at the site, you know, that is being visited can actually perceive you being there. Now, in the controlled remote viewing, which is what I do, we have the bilocation, which is where your mind is at both places at the same time. You're experiencing the sight, but you're also mindful of the fact that you've got that paper in front of you and you're writing things down and all that. And then beyond that, there's the what's called perfect sight location, perfect sight integration, where you are so completely focused on the sight that you forget about the room you're in and all that. And that is still different from out of body and, you know, from astral projection. So it's still quite different.
Astral projection, out of body, the same?
Or different? No, it's different. Yeah. When you get into all of this, study, what you're actually studying is the human mind. And the fact is that as you study the human mind, you're just not going to get any simple answers anymore. It's just not going to happen. The human mind is just way too complex for that.
You told me once that one of the ways, if you travel that way, one of the ways you can actually touch things at the site.
Yeah.
What would that, which way would that be?
You can experience touching things at the site. Now, I know one time Mel Riley was telling me that he had been given a practice target of a battle at the Civil War, and he had one of these perfect site integrations and actually experienced being there. But when he came back out of session, he was coming back from the viewing building over to the administration building, and somebody said, "Did you cut yourself?" And he said, "No, why?" And he had a spot of blood on his shirt that was not his blood. And so, you know, evidently this is called a portment, as I understand it. If you use technology to make one thing go from one place to another, that's called teleporting. But if you do it with your mind, I think it's called apporting. And he had evidently apported some blood back from the battlefield in the Civil War as he came back mentally.
And man, that sounds like a lot of super soldiers. They talk about something very similar.
Yeah, the Chinese have done a lot of sort of research on this, and apportment, making things disappear, mentally making things disappear in one place and then reappear in another place. And
open lines here on Coast to Coast Day. Oh, did you have more? Go ahead. Sorry.
They've had success with it, as I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love hearing the super soldier story. That's for sure. Open lines continue here. First time caller, James out of Missouri. Welcome to Coast AM, James.
Hi, yes. Hello?
Do you have a question for one of us?
Yes, yes, Lynn. I have a question for you. It's kind of a strange one, but I basically, when I look at the stars at night throughout my whole life, I get a sense of longing. Like a home, homesickness feeling, and I've always had that, and I don't really know where it comes from. I've got a normal job, and I'm not really into paranormal stuff at all, really. And I've just always wondered that, and I wonder if it's related to you're mentioning it earlier about certain types of humans and evolution, and like blood type. I'm O negative blood type, and I've read something about that, but I've Yeah, do you know anything about that? And thanks for taking my call, Connie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really don't, but I know that I love astronomy, and I know that I get basically that same feeling. Yeah, a feeling of just, you know, some part of me seems to feel like it belongs out there. I don't know what it is either, but. Yeah, I felt that. Yeah.
You know, I got to say something to that as well. I think a lot of people here as Coast to Coast listeners as well, we have that longing. We look up and we look deep, and we do it a lot. And we have a longing. We feel like, hey, I'm not from here. And you can say that and people think you're not, but, you know, you actually feel that longing just like he spoke about. And I think a lot of us here that are with us tonight feel the same way. And it's special.
Well,
I think that's a special thing.
Maybe you are nuts, but I think it's
endearing
to be proud of, because you know, I think it sets you above other people who don't have the ability to feel that.
Yeah, I agree. It's deep. It's nice. I like it. Wild card line number 4, Jeff out of Santa Rosa, California. open lines. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
It is an honor to speak with you both tonight.
Thanks.
Lynn Buchanan, I have a very important question for me, for you.
Okay.
I heard that the Martians went into hibernation, and I want to know if their culture is still viable in stasis, and if there are some Martians taking care of business outside of stasis, or some combination thereof, and what can be done to wake them up.
This is sort of a long answer. I hate to give these on a short show, but I have been tasked with this one. And what I found out is that they didn't so much go into stasis as into hiding, you know, or into seclusion to protect themselves from the disasters of the weather and all of this. And one session that I did, this was another bilocation, I was with them, and what I found was that they were still alive. They were not frozen or in stasis or anything like that. They were alive and moving, but they were so evolutionarily devolved that their arms and legs are just, you know, they've been cooped up for thousands of years in this seclusion place, and their extremities, not being used anymore, have just gone into devolvement. And this is what I found. So as far as stasis is concerned, I don't think so. But still alive and still existing, yeah, I think so.
Interesting. So they look like regular humans, but atrophied arms and legs?
Yeah, just atrophied arms.
Atrophy.
And legs, you know,
okay.
And masses of them cooped up in small places for thousands of years and generation to generation to generation. They're going to what I call devolve. They're evolving to meet that that situation. But, you know, I think it was for them a serious devolvement.
Very tough. Wildcard line 3, John out of Kentucky. Welcome to Open Lines on Coast to Coast.
Hey, Connie. Hi, Lynn. Lynn, I have a quick question for you just in a second. I'm in here in deep in Appalachia, where the bobcats scream, the coyotes howl and run wild, and the foxes are curious. Real quick,
go
Connie,
big blue, baby. Go
in.
Big blue.
Hey, that's right, UK.
That's right.
Real quick,
I graduated there, baby. Bring it on. Let's go.
All right, I'm here in near Paintsville. Kudos to Gina. She's just a wonderful, warm person, and
yes,
she's a mountaineer too. I was just checking my trail cams around my mountain here in Appalachian. I was listening to the show with my cell phone around, and I'm still searching for that Sasquatch. I had a sighting in the early 70s. Those eyes, and that intelligence
excellent
that they have to, when they reach
yes
you, when they're looking at you.
Yes.
Wow. But now let me tell you, Connie, real quick. I was a sick child back then. I had cancer and really sick, and there were some other things that was going on. And I think sometimes they come as a defense for you. Mm. I wonder about that. I had just did when he was scanning me, he was like he was concerned. And let me tell you, you know when they see you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, Lynn, I have a quick question. I'm very spiritual. I read through the scriptures all the time, and I believe in our Father God. And I had a vision. I don't know if it was remote. It was really something. It was a blessing. And I lost my mother in 98. Had a vision of her. And she was wearing a white gown or a robe, and it was like a projection screen. When I was being spiritual, like they call it, I guess, the Holy Ghost. Well, it was the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. The projection sort of come out of me, and I seen my mother, and she was she died at an old age, but she was young. But the robe, the reason I'm calling, you said, I thought, as I was listening to the programs, Crunching in the Woods, I thought I heard you say that you viewed ones in heaven wearing, like, robes or gowns, or maybe I'm wrong. But what color were those? Was they white? And did they look like something from, like, Star Trek or something? Because she had a robe. Now, they say a robe of righteousness. She had a robe that had, like, a high band or something that went around behind her neck, and she's just beautiful. But anyway, I'll take my answer off the air, and thank you, and God bless you, Connie. Keep up the good work with the Yeti, and bless you, Lynn.
Thank you, and good luck doing that, too. Brave man doing that tonight.
On that, I had not been tasked with that. On the ones where I experienced what I would call heaven, there were robes, but there were people in plain clothes and all that, you know, just regular, their clothes. And there were people in Norse garbs, American Indian garbs, and you know, just I think what they would be living in life. One time I got a blind tasking, and I got this little Jewish guy in a modern business suit. And I have been getting all these bad guys and evil leisures and all that. And so that's what I was expecting. But this guy, when I finished my session, my summary was, whatever evil you think this guy did, he didn't do it. You know, it's as simple as that. Come to find out, I had been tasked with viewing Jesus. And so, on a mental level, okay, stress this, on a mental level, in that manner, I met Jesus. And it sort of kind of confused me that he would be in a modern business suit. But then I realized that the real Jesus is not a historic figure. He's real right now. And we keep painting him with robes and, you know, and in the old Hebrew settings and all that. No, he's modern. He's here right now.
And he's got beautiful long hair and blue eyes. And by the way, you can read about what he's talking about in his book, The Seventh Sense.
And he you know, drives the first car. Except that, I don't know. Yeah.
I like that. Seventh Sense is the name of that book. You can find it, and you can find him at crviewer.com. Connie Willis, Lynn Buchanan, Open Lines, Coast to Coast AM. You are listening to Coast AM. Hi, Connie Willis. Find me at conniewillis.com and go on live investigations of Bigfoot and Dogman and hauntings and strange lights with my Project Creepy Hotspots. My show is called Blue Rock Talk. I hope you'll join me. Got great discounts for people. It's a membership. It's a community. It's really great. I think you'll like it. And I have rock bottom prices just, boom, cut in half for everybody because I know everybody's going through a hard time. Not a problem. Just go to conniewillis.com. You'll learn all you need. conniewillis.com. Lynn Buchanan, who joins me on my show all the time, is here with me tonight on Coast to Coast. He's joining me with Open Lines. I want to thank you for doing that, Lynn. It's Open Lines are always fun, and it's fun when somebody can join you as well that everybody loves too. Now, where, because we want to get to many phone calls that are still here, but where can everybody find you just in case it just keeps on a going and a going?
Yeah, my website is crviewer.com, and it has all the contact information. It has links to the courses I teach, and it also has like last count, I think around 450 practice targets that you can use just to see how well you can do. And, yeah, you know, if you fail, hey, you don't have to tell anybody because we don't track anything. And if you succeed, you have total bragging rights. But the you go to the website, and there's a thing called free resources, and one of them is called the Target of the Week. And you will find a calendar in there of every Wednesday date from 2006, I think, up to close to the present. And you click on that, and it will give you front loading, which says something like, oh, the targets and activity describe the activity. That's all it's going to give you. It'll give you some coordinates that you can write down, and that those coordinates are not magic at all. All they do is they just document what target you viewed. And if you look at it, the coordinates are the targets for that date. And so you write that down, and then you start getting impressions to see what you get. And then at the end, when you finish and you get tired of all that, you go back, you bring up that same date, and then you click on Give Me Feedback, and you see what the feedback is. You can take what you got, score it against what the target really is, find out where you were right, where you were wrong, and all that. And most of them also, for dowsers, have a dowsing map. And you can get feedback on, you know, and it will give you the dowsing map first before you do your session. And you can print that out and then dowse on it. And then when you get your feedback, you can see how well you are at dowsing.
So that's at crviewer.com. Also, his books, The Seven Sense and Gravity Can Be Your Friend. Lots of courses and classes to take in there. Back to open lines on coast to coast, west of the Rockies, Gold Mine, Pioneer, California. Welcome to coast. How are you?
You're a hard person to get a hold of, and best about your little puppy.
Thank you.
So I'm an NDE survivor. I've talked to George a few times.
Wow.
And I'm an empath. So I've emailed you. We talked. I'm the weirdo that talks to the Bigfoot.
I love that. Hey there.
Anyway, I've had interaction with them since 2015. So to give you an answer to your question, yes, they are an animal. They do have scat, and they do leave footprints, but they also go into the trees. So when their footprints disappear, that's probably why they went up into the trees. I've been pelted with them and everything. So to get to you, Lynn, I've got numerous gifts. Being an empath, I've moved into my gold mine. That's why I go by gold mine.
Oh, okay.
To stay away from people, because Connie brought up the word love, and I have a very difficult time being an empath, falling in love, because people like to lie and you know what they're talking about. So it's difficult to be in a relationship.
True.
But that being said, could you help people dial in their gifts by the way that you use not astral projecting, but I'm a little
remote
nervous,
viewing.
Sorry.
Remote viewing. No, that's all good.
Yeah, the remote viewing. Can you help people like myself? Because I see death and destruction. I saw 9/11. I see the earthquakes. I saw the tsunamis. I see all that, and I'd rather see something different.
Yeah,
and
most natural psychics are prone to do that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing is, when you learn the remote viewing, what you're learning is how to get in touch with your own subconscious mind. And your own subconscious mind is actually a very fantastic place. It's extremely smart, extremely fast. And so, you know, I won't say that, like, for human interactions, you know, interaction with other humans, it won't make them stop lying. However, all of a sudden you realize what games are being played, and you don't play the games anymore. You know, it's just one of the things is that when you get in touch with your own subconscious mind, and it is quick and easy and very sensitive, you're going to stop falling for the games. I've always hated the games people play, and pretty soon you quit playing the games, and it makes life better. So that's all I can really tell you about it.
And it makes sense. I mean, I can totally relate to what he's talking about, where, you know, you're being empathic. You can know these things that are happening. You know, they're saying one thing and you're feeling another and you're getting something else. And it's just so hard. It's like you can't. It's like just the truth will set you free. We'll all be free. It'll be great. Let's just be straight with each other.
Yeah.
You know, the truth. If you have the truth, you can make better decisions in life. You can make the right decisions based on fabrication. And fear. Okay, you answered what love was. What is fear?
Yeah. And you know,
what would you say fear is?
What is fear? That was an actual question then.
Yeah.
I think usually fear comes from feeling like you don't know the answer.
That's good.
The unknown. Yeah.
That's for sure.
So I think usually when you don't know the answer and you have uncertainty and you just feel lost, that's the basis, I think, of most fear.
And it's kind of like you want to stay in control, right? You're like, oh, if I'm not in control. Sure. Yeah. But, you know, to me, the most fun is going, all right, man, just let it unfold. What's next? That's like being on that roller coaster, you know? Not the one that spins around, makes you sick, but the fun one. That's right. It's an adventure. You bought that ticket. Let's go. You're going for a ride. What that little boy say in that movie a long time ago. Let's go.
And usually the adventure is worth the trip. But yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like embrace, jump on, go for it, put your hands up and just ride.
Yeah.
East of the Rockies, Gretchen out of Martin, Texas. Gretchen, thanks for hanging in there. What's your question here on Coast to Coast?
Oh, hey. Okay, got off the phone. Hey. Hi, both of you. I guess I'll start. And I have a really bizarre question just from one of your earlier statements about the reincarnation of they come back as 13-year-olds, but I'm wondering, like, what would their family be, or I mean, how could they exist as 13-year-olds without somebody behind them?
Well, I think the spirit goes into a 13-year-old or something like that, and all of a sudden it awakes, or else it awakes at that time when there's reincarnation. Now, I've heard a lot of stories about kids who, as soon as they are able to talk, you know, they start talking about past lives. But the the sessions that I had done on those who died, and the next moment they reincarnated, they were suddenly, you know, preteens. And so I can't say for sure that that happens all the time. That's the experience I had from the sessions that were given to me.
Wild card line number one, James out of Washington State. Welcome to Coast and Open Lines.
Hello. This is Connie?
Yep, you got me.
All right. I've been listening to Coast to Coast for a couple decades, and you and George, you guys are like the best interviewers there is. So I wanted to lay that one out there.
Thank you.
And then I wanted to say glory to God for the Father, Christ Jesus. And then I had a question for Lynn. My question was if he has ever seen or communicated with any ETs that were angelical in nature or that put off vibes like they seemed holy or divine amongst the different races?
I didn't get all of that. Put on what?
I was wondering in the ETs that you've...
Yeah, I got the angelic and all that. I didn't get the one word you said.
Or any ETs putting off vibes of like holy vibes or divine vibes?
Oh, all of the ETs that... Well, this kind of gets in. I did other things before going to the remote viewing unit, but all the ETs that I've had experience with, whether in remote viewing or otherwise, were just individuals. They had their own agendas. They had their own reasons for being there. They had their own ways of thinking. Many were loving, some were, you know, hostile, some were fearful, some were very bossy. And, you know, it's like saying, you know, picking, you know, oh, all men are alike. No, all men are not alike. All women are alike. No, all ETs, no. They're not. There's not us and them. There's us and them and them and them and them and them and all the other thems. And with each of the thems, they have individuals within their societies and all that. So I know when I get to viewing an ET, I just call them just another person.
You know what, Lynn? You're a great person. Thank you so much for joining us once again here on Coast to Coast. Thanks for sticking around for Open Lines. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again.
Well, so yeah, I enjoy this. I enjoy talking to you.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll make another date.
Okay, good. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. You have a good night. And everybody knows how to get it. Yeah. What's that? Go ahead.
I say thank everybody for listening in and for the questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Lynn Buchanan, crviewer.com, 7 cents. Gravity can be your friend. Courses, classes, and all sorts of goodies. Go check those things out. Thank our guest, Lynn Buchanan, tonight, and all of you for Open Lines. It was great for you to call, and we got as many in as we could. A lot of you still on the line. Sorry that that happened, but we appreciate that you guys have called in. So from the foothills of the Colorado Rockies, I want to thank everybody that helps put this show together. That is Julie Talbot and Bill May, Lisa Lyon and Tommy Danheiser, Dan Galani and Stephanie Smith, Mike Cosio, Lex Lonehood, Sean LeDesseur, Tim Banal, Gina Salvati on the phone tonight, Donna Walker. Also, Penny Girl, I got to thank her, my girl, for forever and ever. Adam Thompson, Greg Foster, Ryan Stacy, Chris Burrows, Ian Punnett, Lisa Garr, Richard Sirrett, George Knapp, and of course, George Norrie. Also want to definitely thank you for listening. And until we meet again, please find me at ConnieWillis.com. Let's do some adventures together, investigate, have a great time, and be friends forever as well. Again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.